If you live to please people, when you stop pleasing them, they will drop you like a hot potato. I know, because I've experienced it. I do what I do because I've seen God's power transform my own life, and He will do it for you. The key to everything is found in God's Word. I'm Joyce Meyer, and I believe that God can heal you everywhere you hurt. I want to talk to you today about the people-pleasing disease. Anybody here tend to be a people pleaser? Well, we all are to some degree, and it's not always wrong. The Bible tells us to please people, but when we're displeasing God in order to please people, then we're doing something we should not do. Amen? So I want to ask a few questions. Do you often find yourself saying yes when someone asks you to do them a favor and then regretting it later? Do you say yes to things and then complain about having to do them? Now, don't be so quiet. Perhaps you said yes, but you really wanted to say no, and you end up feeling like a victim and then being resentful of the other person that you're doing it for when you're the one that said yes. I remember getting really upset at a person when I realized that they had been controlling me for a handful of years, and God just said, "Why are you mad at them? You're the one that let them do it." Are you selfless to a fault? Do you feel guilty when you say no? Well, we all want to please people, and in fact, the Bible tells us that we should live to please others, and we'll talk a little more about that later. But when pleasing people causes us to disobey God or to displease God, then we're doing it to gain approval, or we're doing it out of the fear of man. We're doing it out of the fear of someone not liking us or thinking we're not good or losing favor with them or having them become angry with us. And I grew up in a very dysfunctional home, a father who was very abusive, sexually abusive to me, would regularly beat up my mother when he'd come home drunk, and he controlled everything in the household. So he got angry very easy, and so I fell into a pattern early in my life of trying to keep him happy so there'd be a little peace in the house. I kind of became like the resident peacemaker. And when you get something like that early in your life, a lot of things that we get imprinted on us early in life, you carry them all through life. And even though we are officially delivered from them when we become believers, I find that some of those things don't just go away, but I become aware of them, and then I have to resist falling back into that same pattern. It's kind of like we default to something. So if I'm with somebody close, somebody that I love, especially family, or even a real close friend, if I think that I have made them angry, it's very difficult for me still to not just stand on my head trying to fix it. I can resist it now, but I have to do it on purpose. So if you have something like that in your life where just because you have to resist it and stand against it doesn't mean you're not free from it. See, before you didn't know how to resist it or even that it was a problem maybe. So I just think that's good for you to know that just because you still have to resist something, you know, I still every day have to resist saying things that I shouldn't say. I have to resist several times a day thinking thoughts that I shouldn't think. And so the Bible never tells us that we will not be tempted. It says that we pray that we won't come into the temptation. Temptation itself is not sin. It's when you take the temptation and let it become a reality in your life that it becomes sin. So don't feel bad about yourself because you get tempted sometimes. People pleasers are often people that were denied proper affection and love in their childhood. They may have only felt accepted and loved when they were doing exactly what parents, teachers, or peers wanted them to do, even if what they wanted was sinful or went against their conscience. If our actions are done to gain approval, I want you to listen to this, we will be disappointed because we don't always get people's approval, even if we do everything they want us to do. In John chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, Jesus said, it says that Jesus, for his part, did not trust himself to them because he knew human nature. And I find that scripture to be very interesting, and it's helped me a lot in life because we do get disappointed by people, but we also disappoint people. And Jesus didn't say he didn't trust them. That's the thing I think is interesting. He said he didn't trust himself to them. And so we always have to have a little bit of caution with people, not to just totally throw our whole self open to them, and don't ever look at anybody and think, you'll never hurt me. Because just about the time you do that, God will be obligated to let you see their weaknesses. So you realize that he's the only one that you can put your full and complete trust in. And I think the fact that Jesus did not trust himself to them is why he did not get devastated when Judas betrayed him, when Peter denied even knowing him 3 times, when he specifically asked the disciples that he had poured so much into if they would pray with him just 1 hour in his greatest time of agony, and they all fell asleep. He said, can't you pray with me 1 hour? And yet, there's no indication he got angry with them. There's no indication he blamed them. But even in that statement, can't you pray with me 1 hour? You can hear a little bit of disappointment, I think. Couldn't you at least do that? But yet, he wasn't devastated by it. See, if we understand that people do not have the ability to never disappoint us or hurt us. Now, you can look at me from out there to here or in your home watching me on television, and I don't know what you think, but if you came to my house and hung out with me for 2 weeks, and we had meals together and did things, I can pretty much guarantee you that in that period of time, I would do something that you would think, well, I wouldn't have thought you would have done that. And I think something we have to be very careful of today, and I'm thinking this more and more, you have to be very careful of sitting out there and get a worship attitude toward the person up here. You love them, you respect them, you honor them, you revere them, you pray for them, but they're not God. They represent God, they're speaking God's word to you, but God's a jealous God, and you belong to him. Amen? And so, let me ask a question. How many of you feel too stressed out in life? How many of you feel like you have too much to do? Okay, well, I'll just kind of slip this one in right now. If you have too much to do, I'll tell you what God told me. You made your schedule, you're the only one that can change it. And furthermore, you'll find out today, if you would write down everything you're doing and then ask yourself, why am I doing this? You clear your schedule off. I mean, quick, you'll have so much time, you won't know what to do. Because one of the things we want to talk about today with this people-pleasing business is motives. And you know, our motives are not something that we look at as often as we should. I read recently that spiritual integrity is the ability to be brutally honest with yourself. I'm going to say that again. This is something to really think about. I'm going to put some things out today that are a little deeper things, but the early service had it great. I mean, I was the nicest in that early service I think I've ever been. I just loved up on them and told them how wonderful they were, and just, I mean, nobody could have found fault with that message. Well, yeah, somebody probably could have. But this message is one of the ones that you have to think about what I'm saying. Do you know that I think very seldom do we really think about why we're doing something? We just make decisions to do things, or we do things because people ask us to, or because it's what's expected. It's the should and the ought. Now listen to what I'm going to say. God will never give you more to do than what you can do peacefully. And God will never give you more to do than what you can do and not have to hurry. Yeah. Now, how many of you believe that? I mean, God's not the one putting this lifestyle on us that we have. It's the world that does that, and we're just kind of following along. And part of it is because we say yes to everything, and we need to learn how to say no to some things. And you won't do that if you're afraid of making people mad. As long as you still have to impress people, you're never free. If you live to please people, when you stop pleasing them, they will drop you like a hot potato. I know, because I've experienced it. I had a group of people that, in a church that I went to, prior to being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that I thought were really I had worked really hard to get those friends. You know, they were the right group, and I wanted to be in with the right group. You know, even churches have cliques. And I wanted to be in the right group, so Dave was an elder, and I was on the church board, and we did everything with our little group that we thought really loved us. And you know, it was the oddest thing. When God called me into ministry, they all dropped me like a hot potato. I got asked to leave the church. Because even though God believed that women could do this, they didn't. Well, guess what? That's been 47 years ago, and I'm still here. And I don't know what they're doing, but it's kind of interesting. The people that judge you for what you do are usually the ones that aren't doing anything. And judging you for doing something makes them feel better about doing nothing. Now, the Bible does tell us to live to please God. Galatians 1:10, I love this scripture. Paul said, "Now, am I trying to win the favor of men or of God?" So that's a good question. Do I seek to please men? Now, listen to what he said. This is amazing. If I were still seeking to be popular with people, I would not now be an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, think about how easily I could have missed the call of God on my life if I would have bowed down to that pressure when all those people that I thought were my friends, I mean, they just told me, you're wrong. Women can't be ordained. Women don't do this. You don't have the right personality. There's not one person. We've talked about it. You know what that means? We've talked about it, and we don't think you have the right personality. You know, sometimes when you have a dream from God, to be honest, you're just better off to keep it to yourself. Because if you think everybody's going to be happy for you, they may not. Isn't it interesting that God picks people that nobody thinks he could use? And I was really a very unlikely candidate, and they were right in the natural. I didn't have the right personality. And, you know, my voice is not the sweetest little thing in the world, and yet God's blasting it around the world. And so, all I can say, and maybe it's a tiny bit of a bad attitude, I don't know, but I hope, because I'm on a lot of television, so I hope those people who judged me can't watch their television without running across me. Got asked to leave my church because I got filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. John 12:42-43. And yet in spite of all this, many, even of the leading men, the authorities and the nobles, believed and trusted in Jesus. Now listen, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it for fear that if they should acknowledge Christ, they would be put out of the synagogue. Wow. So they gave up a relationship with Jesus because of fear of not being part of the group. Can I tell you that you can survive even if you're not part of the group? Matter of fact, sometimes you're better off. Just hang with Jesus. So here we have Paul who says, I wouldn't even be an apostle if I would have been trying to be popular with people. I would have totally missed the call of God on my life and missed all these wonderful things that God has let me do to help people if I would have preferred to keep my friends. And it wasn't easy. It was not easy to lose our friends and have family members turn against us. And don't think for one minute that the devil's going to roll out a red carpet for you when God calls you to do something. And one of the biggest weapons the enemy uses against you is the fear of what people are going to think. The fear of what they're going to say. The Bible does tell us that we should live to please God, not men. We want to please men, but if that means that we have to displease God, then we got to choose God. Amen. Now, motives. My, my, my. You know, God is not nearly as interested in what we do as he is in why we do it. And one of the reasons why God can be so merciful with people is because he sees the why behind the what. Why did God choose to use somebody like me? Because honestly and truly in the natural, I was not and probably still am not qualified to do this. I mean, I had a 12th grade education. Now, I've got a whole bunch of degrees now because they were honorary degrees, but I wanted to go to college. My teachers wanted me to try for a journalism scholarship because they recognized that I could write. I didn't get to go to journalism school, but Interestingly enough, I've written 150 books. About 70 million books have been sold and distributed around the world. And so, now I saw a lady say, that's amazing. You're absolutely right. I've never taken a class on how to write a sermon, never had a public speaking class, never had any kind of professional training, haven't been to seminary. But God saw something that people didn't see. He saw the why behind the what. I realized that people looking at my behavior then, and not that I was doing a lot of bad things, but just the harshness. God knew why I was that way. And he knew that I loved him and that he could work with me. And he saw me down the road. And that's the way he sees you too. Amen. Let me tell you something. God can change anybody if they'll let him. Anybody. Motives. Be brutally honest with yourself about why you're doing things. When somebody asks you to do something, don't just say yes right off the bat. Tell them you want to check your schedule and you'll get back to them tomorrow. And then actually think about what all it's going to take for you to do it. See, it's very easy for somebody to say to me, oh, God told us that you're going to be the keynote speaker at our conference. Well, that used to just really move me because I thought, well, if God told them, I guess I better do it. And then I finally thought, well, God didn't told me. He may have told you, but he didn't tell me. And so I finally started taking time to go home and find out if God wanted to tell me. Because I found myself doing so many favors for so many people that then I still had to do everything I needed to do to keep Joyce Meyer Ministries running and operating right. And we want to do favors for people, but you can only do so much. And anybody that wants to hear yes is not going to like hearing no. But if people, now you got to hear this, if people really love you, if they're true friends and they really love you, they will want you to follow God, not them. I've had a couple of occasions where I've asked people to do something and they said, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to say no. I just don't feel like it's what God wants me to do. And I'm like, hey, that's great. I want you to follow God. If you really love people, you're going to want them to follow God, not you, if what you want is not what God wants. Amen? So don't put that pressure on people just to try to get them to do what you want them to do. Encourage them to hear from God.